Herzlich willkommen. That was my German. To this session about Configuration Manager and Compliance Management. Before we get started, I would just like to very, very quickly introduce myself and the background for the session here. My name is Kent Agerlund, and I'm from Copenhagen, Enterprise Client Management MVP, formerly known as a Configuration Manager MVP. Throughout the session here, you're more than welcome to interrupt me. So if you have any questions, don't hold them until the end, because I'm pretty sure we will go the full 60 minutes. If we don't have time to answer all of the questions, then Wally and I, we will have a Q&A session during the lunch break, and you're more than welcome to stop by and ask us whatever you want to ask us. This session here is of course, mainly about compliance management, but it's also, I kind of put together this session to show you what you can do with Configuration Manager. I mean, there is a lot of different stuff that can actually be done that we might not think about in our day-to-day business. So for instance, replacing group policies, installing printers, figuring out who's the bad users, and so on and so forth. And that's kind of the intent with this session here. Most, not all, but most of the demos that I'm going to cover are scripts that I'm using also in production at various customers. And I will make sure that you get the scripts at the end. So I'll make sure that we have somewhere where you can actually download the scripts. With that, let's go ahead and get started. My Twitter feed is up here, so if you have any questions also throughout the sessions and you don't want to interrupt me, just ask me in the Twitter feed, and I will definitely answer all of those later today. I won't be doing it during the session though. So this is a brief about me. We already had that. Compliance settings. How many of you are working with Config Manager 2012? That's like most of you. I was kind of hoping that. How many of you are still working on CMO 7? That's you? That's one? So the reason for asking is that in CMO 7, not a whole lot of us actually used what was called a site configuration management. And there are some good reasons for that. First off, it was a brand new feature. It's not the reason why we actually installed Config Manager. It's most likely because you wanted to do some software deployment or OS deployment. So it's not one of the main features. The reason why you want to use it in 2012, in my opinion, is that you definitely want to do compliance tracking. You want to figure out who are actually the bad users or the bad devices in your organization. And maybe you want to remediate. So maybe once we have figured out that we have some devices over here that are not pointing to the correct WSUS server, then maybe we want to fix that issue. It could also be that we want to distribute some applications, or it could be that we want to distribute some shortcuts. One of the use cases in here is OSD. We all know that once you have finally got your reference image to work and you have your first task sequence out, then 20 seconds later, the manager comes in and say, yeah, we also need that one. And then you have to recreate the stuff, or you might have to go in and modify your task sequence. Well, the thing is, we're not doing that. We are not modifying our task sequence every time the manager comes, because if we did that once, he or she will just keep on coming instead of planning the stuff. So we're using, or we can use compliance management in between our task sequence revisions to, for instance, configure shortcuts on the desktops or configure other stuff like registry settings and so on. Mac management, if you want to do the built-in Config Manager Mac management, then all I can say is good luck. Now, the reason why I'm saying that, it actually works. That's just because if you really want to manage your Mac, you need to learn about shell scripting. Because that is basically how we manage them. So if you want to set stuff like your wallpaper, if you want to set stuff like always ask when you're going out of your screensaver for password and stuff like that, it has to be shell scripting. There are no built-in Mac features that we can just go in and enable to true and false and so on and so forth. If you want that with Config Manager, then you have to look at one of the third-party vendors. There are some third-party plugins to Mac Management that actually has those profiles. So those of you who are familiar with Mac Management, you know that you are deploying profiles and so on, and you can still get the same. Then I know that Nico had a session earlier this week on mobile device management, so I'm pretty sure that he actually also covered compliance management when we're talking about mobile device management, because that's the way we can actually ensure that we are getting the security policies deployed and so on. For me, this is super exciting. It's a very, very, very neat feature, and you need to control yourself once you get started, because if you create like hundreds and hundreds of CIs and run them every hour, I mean, there are so many ways you can bring a device down, and that's one of them. So figure out what you want to monitor, figure out how often you want to run the scripts on the clients, and also figure out if it's really necessary, or if it's just you who thinks it's funny. I sometimes have a hard time figuring out if it's really necessary for the business or if it's just because I find it funny. A few terms before we will jump into the demos, and I will be doing mostly demos here. The first one is a CI. So a CI, or a configuration item, that can be a lot of stuff. That can be like a registry check. So I want to make sure that my WSUS server is pointing to this value. I want to make sure that my CCM evaluation is enabled or disabled. So a CI is a check. A CI can also be a script. So if you are doing any VB scripting, or if you're doing any PowerShell scripting, that can also be a CI. A baseline, that is then a grouping of a logical grouping of one or multiple CIs. Baseline can also contain software updates. So for instance, if you want to make sure that your servers are always compliant, then you have created a few registry CIs. You might also have a script CI, but you also want to make sure that they have these two extremely important software updates installed. So you add all of them to a baseline, and then you deploy your baseline to either a collection of devices or a collection of users. And a CI can be a member of multiple baselines. That's not an issue. One of the things that I have learned is that you want to make sure you have a CI that only does like one thing. In the beginning, I added in a few additional checks in one CI, but it wasn't that dynamic. So it's, for me, it's much easier to just have a CI doing this, CI doing that. So I will have a few extra CIs, but then I can add those CIs to multiple baselines. Profiles, that's a new one in 2012, and especially in R2. So when you're managing your mobile devices, you might want to deploy like an email profile, or you definitely want to deploy your email profiles, you want to deploy your Wi-Fi profiles and so on. And that was the part that Nico covered. If we have any time, I will also go into that. The new feature in 2012 is automatic remediation. That's one of the new features. And it doesn't work with all of your CI types. So it only works if you have a registry. It works if you have a script, and it also works if you have a WMI check. And the registry and the scripts are, in my opinion, fantastic, because I can actually take a registry key and add that registry key, or I can take a registry key and modify the value. By doing this in a CI, I don't have to deploy any content. So under normal circumstances, if you wanted to do the same with a package, you would have to create your package, you would have to create your program, and then you would have to distribute that content to 88 distribution points. And those of you who are working with multiple distribution points, you know that that can sometimes be a timely affair. I mean, it doesn't just deploy like that. Maybe you have some other content distributions going on. You have to wait, and it will just take more than one cup of coffee before you can actually start deploying the registry keys. Here, there is no content management, so it's all in the CI. So it's all more or less just the policy. Once we have that, then we can actually go ahead and modify the stuff. When you want to work with remediation, you need to enable that on the CI. Once you have enabled on the CI, it's not the same as you have enabled it all the way, because you also need to enable it on the baseline. And that's not a design bug or anything like that. That's actually pretty clever, because a CI can be something that you have a developer develop. And maybe he or she enabled remediation on that CI. And to be honest, how many of us trust the developers? Right? Not that many of us. Not the first time, anyway. We want to make sure that we actually check it first. So what I normally recommend is that you take your baseline and then you deploy that in a monitoring only phase. Just deploy it, figure out what the damage is, figure out how many are actually compliant or non-compliant, and then after that, you can go in and enable your remediation. So that twice you have to change that. And then just like applications, we have revisioning and we have audit tracking. This is, again, a very neat little feature. So every time you make a change to a CI, and just picture if you're creating a script. Sometimes a script the first time doesn't really work as you expected, so you have to go in and modify the script. Then you go back in and modify the script again, and then you realize that actually revision 2 was the correct one. So in here, we can go in and say, okay, what revision do I actually want to deploy? Is it always the latest, or is it this specific revision here? So that's a neat little feature. With that, let's go into some demo mode. And remember, if you have any questions at all, then just stop me. So I will be demonstrating a few registry changes, a few script changes, and I have also some CIs that require that we change some hardware inventory and so on. But the first one here is really something I implement at all of my customers, and that is for client remediation, making sure that the configuration manager client is configured to monitoring only. And what I mean by that is that every client you install will, on a daily basis, unless you reconfigure that, on a daily basis, it will run a process called CCM evaluation or CCM eval. That process will take a look at an XML file on the client. In that XML file, we have a large number of different checks, figuring out if these services are running, figuring out if WVMI is intact, and so on and so forth. And if something is not working, then the Config Manager client will try to remediate itself. And that is a feature that we really like on our clients. But on my servers, I don't want a server to suddenly start reinstalling WVMI because, let's face it, that could be not super funny when that happens to 55 servers on a Friday afternoon and suddenly some stuff doesn't work any longer. So on my servers, I just want to have like a monitoring only. You can still run the CCM eval, but don't fix anything. So that's one use case. That's kind of the first one that I'm going to demonstrate here. And my demo environment, I have two servers. So I have a primary side server and I have what I call a user-facing side server. So I have CMO2 here is my management point, distribution point, software update point, and app catalog point. Let's go in on my over here. So the first thing we have to figure out, that is, how can we actually do this manually? Because if you don't know how you can do it manually, there is really no way we can automate that. So in HK local machine, software, Microsoft, down in CCM, we have CCM eval. And here we have a key called notify only, and by default, this one here is configured to false. I want to make sure that this one here gets changed so it's configured to true, meaning that it will not go in and remediate. So I have a reference machine, I have my domain controller here, and I know what value that I want to change. With that, it's going on my server. So I'm creating a configuration item, and that's found in assets and compliance. going to disable that. So in here, when you create your CI for the first time, this is where you can actually go in and say, okay, this is a Windows CI, this is a Mac CI. So we are going to just use a Windows CI. Categories. Categories are not needed, but they are very, very helpful because a category, whatever category you assign, can be used later by you when you're working in the console. And if you want to like group by all your server CIs, or you want to search for all your client CIs. So really, it's not rocket science. It's just a very, very good idea to sit down and spend like 3 minutes on discussing with your colleagues what kind of categories you want to create. Then I have my platforms, so I will allow all platforms here. And then I create my CI. So my CI can be, looking at the type here, let's just hang on a second here. I want to make sure that we can actually see it also in the cheap seats. So I'm just going to use Zoomit. So creating the CI again. And here you can see the different kinds of checks that I can actually perform. And I must admit I haven't done all of them because I haven't had the need yet, but a registry value, a script, a WMI query, those are the ones that I use the most in here. So my registry value, you have to know the data type. This one here is a string. I'll just disable file remediation. And then instead of going in and manually typing and making a lot of mistakes, I'll just connect to my domain controller. And in here, I will use this as a reference machine. So I'll go into HKeyLogger Machine software. It takes a little while before it actually connects here. And then Microsoft CCM, CCM eval. And I should down here have my notify only. So in here, I want to create two changes. I want to make sure that the registry value actually exists on my devices, and I want to make sure that it's actually configured to true. So what I'm doing by just clicking these boxes in here is I'm creating two rules. And this is one of the things that you have to do manually in CMO 7. And that's one of the reasons why in CMO 7 it wasn't that easy, because we had to go in and create most of the stuff ourselves. So by clicking OK right here, if I look in compliance rules, you'll see that I actually created two rules. The first one here, or the last one, is it has to exist. And the second one is that we actually need this value here, so it has to be true. Then I'll just select remediate when supported, and I'm more or less done. So this is my first CI. After this, in order for me to deploy this one here, I need to create a baseline. And a baseline is nothing more, as I said, than a logical grouping of CIs or software updates, or it can actually also contain other baselines in here. So I'll just go ahead and create a configuration baseline, and that will be my server compliance. And in here, I can go in and add in my CIs. So I have my disabled remediation at that one. I don't know if you noticed, but you can also assign a category on your baselines, and you definitely want to do that. So you want to make sure that you have kind of the same standard in here. So I have my server compliance. Going to deploy this one. And in here, I can go in and say, do you want to remediate, yes or no? And I for this one here, since I'm the developer and I trust myself, you shouldn't, but I do, then I will actually go in and remediate this one here. My target will be all servers. So this is a custom collection that I have created, but it's just all my servers. And I want to allow remediation outside of the maintenance window. I'm not really changing anything in here that can cause a restart or a service interrupt or anything like that. So for me, this setting here would be quite all right. Clicking OK there, and that would be, question? Yeah. So the question is, let me just go in here and find you a collection. The service window, the question is, what service window is actually, or maintenance window is actually going to enable? And as you can see here, it's not a software update and it's not a task sequence. So you have to go in and select all deployments. We don't have a specific service window for compliance items. Yes, I hope that answered the question. And that was actually a pretty good question because it gave my client the needed 30 seconds to actually go in and maybe download the policy here. So let's just create a shortcut here. So once I get the baseline down, it will just be listed in here in configurations. It can easily take a few seconds. The other one that I would usually use in here is my WSUS. So making sure that my WSUS server is always pointing at the right WSUS client. That's kind of important when you have a software update point. It has to be like the number one reason why our software updates are not scanning correctly. Let's see if we put this one here down. So this is the number one reason why the other demos that I have, I already ran them. Come on. There you go. It should be in here. I just want to make sure I didn't fat finger anything. Server compliance, remediate. I'll just give it one more try and then I'll carry on. Then we'll just get back to this one here because those of you who are working with Configuration Manager, you know that it will eventually show up. But in a 1 hour demo, we don't want to sit around for 45 minutes and wait for this one here. I'll get back to this one and then we'll see that it will actually just remediate it. So the registry values in here, this is maybe, in my opinion, like the easiest one to get started on because you all have registry values that you either want to check or you want to change in here. The second one is a little bit more complex. That's application tracking. We all know that tracking an application, who has what installed and so on, that's something we can easily do with Configuration Manager. I mean, we have hardware inventory where you can go in and do your add remove programs. You also have software inventory and we also have asset intelligence and so on. But who actually installed the application? Because if it wasn't Configuration Manager, we're not really allowed to get the application on the device. It's only Config Manager who should be installing the app. So we need to be able to track it. And how do we track who installed an application? If I look at a client here, let's just go in and have a look at my client and go into my event viewer. Windows Logs, Application. Then in here, I will have information about my Windows installer. So when as I go through here, you'll see here I have MSI installer. I can see that this product, Adobe Reader, was installed. And I can also see that it was a user called Mike who actually installed it. When it's a user called Mike, there's a pretty good guarantee that it didn't came through Configuration Manager. So the CI that I've created here that will actually track this is a script. And if I go into my configuration items and event log parser for Windows Installer, you'll see it's a little bit more tricky. In here, I have at WMI, I'll populate WMI with the results from this script here. And I have to warn you, this is like going back in time. It's a VB script. Okay. So what we will do in here is we will figure out if we have any of these event IDs. We will be looking at 1030, or we will be looking at the success code 0. So if we have any of those in the application log, we will actually take that information and write that to WMI. So once we have the information in WMI, how do we get that into my hardware inventory? Because we want to be able to, and I'll share all of this, but we want to be able to create a collection like the one I have up here called Bad Bad Devices. And when I show the devices in here, I can see I have PC0001. And when I look at my Resource Explorer, you'll see in here I have a hardware class, and in here, in this hardware class called Event Log Apps, I can see that Mike actually went ahead and manually installed Adobe Reader. So when the install comes from a via Monstro user, that's not Configuration Manager. That way I can actually track this. So there are a few moving parts in this one here. First off, of course, I need the CI. So the CI here is actually public available. It's a CI that Sherry Kissinger blogged about, I would say like half a year ago. So you have a discovery script in here. A discovery script would normally discover something. Is this red or green or black or yellow? But a discovery script, since it's a script, can actually do exactly what you tell the script to do. So in here, we are running an executable that will actually read the information and add them to WMI. I'm not really fixing anything in here. So this is what I said in the beginning. This is another way of actually using Configuration Manager. So once I've done that, then I'm more or less happy. I don't need to do anything else. I don't have a remediation script in here, and I don't really have a check like it has to be 24 or it has to be something like that. So as long as it's not applicable or it's done, then we are more than happy. On my clients, the second question would be, so how much traffic are we now generating on the client in here? Because when you start extending your hardware inventory, which I've done, I've added in the extra class. So in my client settings, I was in, and then I added in the extra MOF class. When you're running this, when you're running any hardware change on your client, I normally recommend that you go into your CCM inventory and your temp folder. And then in here, you create this file called archive reports_.sms, and then you run your hardware scanning. Because when you run your hardware scanning right now, I will actually see the size of my XML file. So right now I can see the consequence of what I just did. So I extended my hardware inventory. But is this going to cost me like 250 kilobytes per client? Is it going to cost me 5 kilobytes per client? Here I can actually see this is the XML document. So this is the hardware inventory data that I'm sending up to my management point. It's 50K. Of course, I need to know what it was before. But 50K to me doesn't sound like a whole lot. It sounds very, very normal. And if I go in here and have a look, see if we have some information here about Mike. Not responding. Ah, why is it not responding? Could be some UAC stuff. Here you go. So in here, if I had information, now I already uploaded that information, but in here you would just be able to see that you had information about Mike and that he actually went in and installed the application. So everything we add in to our inventory will be written to this XML file here. I'm not keeping the archive reports SMS file in there forever. I might just be having that on a few demo boxes when I'm initiating this for the first time. But this configuration here, this one here, I just run like, you know, once a week. It's all I really need to do. So when I run it, it will just have a look at what we have in Event Viewer, and then it will add that into WMI. It's not 100% reliable, definitely not. But it will give you kind of a good overview of what's going on and who actually installed some applications manually. And if you have local administrators, it's happening every single day. So this is one way of doing that. Should we just see if we actually got something over here? I have a pretty good clue on what's going on. While I was setting up here, I just realized that my domain controller was not running. It's kind of important to have at least one deep DC running. So I think something happened while it was... let's do like this. Just restart this one here, and we'll get back to this one. So... The third example in here is like some of the scripting options that we have, and it's not because I don't understand group policies. It's just because I don't want to touch them. When I go into a customer, I really don't want to have any access to their Active Directory environment because their group policies are normally a big mess. It's not documented, and if you change something here, most likely something over here is going to change as well, and you're going to look like a fool. So if I want to do some stuff, for instance, if you want to run WashAI's client center, then we know we have to open up, we need to enable some stuff on the clients, and we can go in and enable that using a group policy. But we could also create a CI that will just go in and enable the needed features. And the neat thing about this is, you can run a baseline against a collection. You don't have to go in, if it's a medium-sized or an enterprise environment, and create a change. We all know that whenever we have to create a change, it means that we have to sit down and wait for like 2 or 3 days before someone is actually approving that. No one is asking us about that when we go in and create a collection in Config Manager. So we can easier do that in a production environment. So just go in, make the collection, add in a few devices, and then you can test it against that. So the first example in here is one of my favorite ones. It's installing printers. We had a customer calling us like, I don't remember, 4 or 5 months ago, and asking us if we could help out with running a VB script from a package. So he had a VB script somewhere on every user's desktop, and he just wanted to execute that. And we said, yeah, sure, we can do that. And then we kind of helped him. And then at the end of the day, I asked him, so what exactly are you trying to achieve here? And he said, well, we we just want to make sure that they have the printer installed. And if it's not installed, we just want to install it. And I said, so you're doing that by running a VB script. And he said, yeah, but first in our user logon script, we are actually downloading and making sure that they have that VB script in a specific folder. And I was kind of, I said, a logon script? Are you still using that? So I was kind of interesting. And we had a logon script, we had a local folder with a VB script, and then we have had a configuration manager client package that actually did all of that. In here, we could actually replace all of that with just a few lines of code in a CI. So if I go into my my demo here, I have a CI called Color Printer. And when I look at this one here in settings, this is a script. And this time it's actually a PowerShell script. So I have a discovery script here. If I edit my script, you'll see that here we are just searching for a printer. And do you have this color printer? Yes or no? What is actually the count of this one here? If you don't have the printer, anybody want to take a wild guess how many lines of code in PowerShell it takes to install a printer? One? Exactly. So this one in here, that replaces the logon script, the local folder, the VB script, and running the VB script through a package in Configuration Manager. And I know that when we looked at this, they said, yeah, but we can also create this in a group policy. Sure, you can do that. I mean, just go ahead and do it. But every time you have to make a change in the GPO, you have to create a change and wait for approval. We don't do that in here. Config Manager administrators, they don't ask for approval. We just go ahead. So that's one of the examples. Let's just see if I got my domain controller back online here again. It looks like it's online. Just want to check one thing here. Brilliant. Just bear with me for a second here. The other example that I want to show you is the dealing with shortcuts example. That's one of the things I get asked about when we are migrating companies from, for instance, from Altiris, because in Altiris we can go ahead and distribute shortcuts. We don't really have a feature like that in Configuration Manager. But in Config Manager, since we have CIs and we can create a script, we can actually easily go in and create a script that will deliver a shortcut in here. And if I go in here and have a look at this script, as I said, I will make these scripts available. I will just export the CIs and make sure that you can actually download them. So this script in here, I have a discovery script. And what we want to make sure is that the users like Wally are actually happy, so they have Notepad easily available, so they don't have to search for that one. So we'll just go in and create a shortcut on the desktop. So we're looking for that. And if it doesn't exist in my discovery in here, then we're going to create it. So in here, you can see just creating a new shortcut. I'm pointing it at notepad.executable, and that's about it. Now, the big thing is, what happens if I take this shortcut script here and create me a CI in here. So I'll just have my shortcut, add that one in. And I'm going to take my baseline and distribute this one here. This one I will distribute to all my workstations. I want to make sure that we remediate and we don't have any maintenance windows on my workstations. I'm just going to run it here. And just want to make sure, yeah, that looks pretty good. So what will I be able to run this one on my client? If I go in on my client here, let's just perform a machine policy. So on my client, I already have the software installed. That one is compliant. If I refresh this one, then a compliance value can either be compliant, non-compliant, it can be unknown, but it can also be an error. And being compliant, that's good. Being non-compliant can also be good. Being unknown, that's just a config manager saying, hey, I haven't evaluated this one yet. But if you have an error in here, wow, I think I need a config manager consultant here if we have one in the room. It's definitely not downloading these. But if I get an error in here, it means that for some reason it cannot pass my the code that I've executed. And there can be like a ton of different reasons for that. But probably if it's a PowerShell script that you're executing in here, then most likely your PowerShell policy, if I go into my administration and client settings, my default client settings in here, I have this. This is my default PowerShell execution policy. So this one here by default is all signed. So what you will get is you will get an error message saying, sorry, we cannot run the code, it's not signed, and that's it. I don't know how many of you are modifying the PowerShell execution policy in here. I don't see it as being a huge security risk, so I just go in here and say bypass. And then some of you who are PowerShell experts, you might say, yeah, but that is a huge security risk. I'm like, no. I mean, if you already gave me access to the console, I mean, I can do a lot of damage. I don't need a PowerShell script to do that. I can just create a task sequence and then do the Australian trick where just if disk the drive, if I want to do that, I can run a VB script. We don't have any security on those. So this one here just says that whatever you run as the config manager client agent, we will bypass this. It's not setting or modifying your group policy PowerShell settings or anything like that. It's not touching that at all. It's only what we run in here. any questions so far? Nope. So are any of you in here, any of you using Config Manager to distribute, for instance, your shortcuts? Nope. Any of you creating shortcuts and using a package to distribute them, or how do you configure your shortcuts on the desktops? Okay. Yeah. Plus a few other comments. Any of you using group policies or anything like that? Some of you. Yeah. So let me just see if I actually got this one here downloaded. Otherwise, I have another demo environment, so it's not a big thing. So I'll just log into my other environment in here just so we can actually see that it's working. Otherwise, you go like, nice slides. Yeah, there is. So the question is if there is any cache time for the CIs. There is. Sherry Kissinger actually wrote a blog post on that. So what I will do is I'll just make a reference to that blog post. But yeah, there is a cache. So you don't want to run it like every 2 minutes or anything like that. I haven't had a whole lot of success with doing that. So what my question would be is, what exactly do you want to run every 15 minutes? Okay. It's just if we get if we get like the business case, then we could go in and say, well, it might not be the right thing to do to run a CI. Instead, what you should do is you should do like this. Okie dokie. So in here I have the very same shortcut check. I'll just create a baseline, just like I did before. Installed applications. Let's just quickly create one here. So I'll just add in the CI, my shortcut check that I had. Go and deploy this one here. This one, for the fun of it, we do to all systems. Always do check test on all systems first. Oh, no, don't do that. Okay, never ever do that. That's a bad idea. Not even a good joke. So let's just go and refresh this one here. Don't have that one yet. Just going to refresh my machine policy. And then I will get the configuration in here in a few seconds. There you go. So here I have my shortcut check. And when I evaluate this one here, it will either become, you can see it's right now it's in progress, it will become compliant. I don't know if you notice, I was smart enough to place a lot of shortcuts just to confuse everybody. But it actually created my shortcut up here. And I can go in and delete this one, and then we can just go ahead and evaluate it again, and it will recreate it. So this is what I meant in the introduction when I said, well, we can use this for our task sequences. So, you know, in between we have our task sequence revisions. If someone wants to modify something, well, let's go ahead and create a CI. Because with a CI we can do a lot of stuff. And then once I'm modifying my task sequence the next time, I'll just go ahead and add in the shortcut in my CI. So we still have a few more seconds left here. Some other stuff that I've seen is manipulating the client. There is always some settings on the client that we cannot go in and configure in the client agent settings. One of them being the cache size. For whatever reason, unknown to me, I cannot go in and say, well, for all my machines I have in this collection here, I want a cache size of 12 gigabytes. And that's a very common scenario. It's a common scenario that we want to use, for instance, if we have student computers or if we have some special lab computers and so on and so forth. And if we know a little about WMI and if we know a little about PowerShell or VB scripting, we can actually make those changes ourselves. So if I just show a little example here. Then on my client cache, a few things we need to know first. would be where we actually find the information. So if you go into your WVMI Explorer, I have this one because the one we used was not free. We thought it was free, and then we realized, then we one day actually read the license agreement, and we were like, ouch. So we wrote our own. So this WVMI browser, it will allow you to connect to the to WVMI in here, and I can go in and say whatever namespace I want to connect to. So here it would be my software management agent. And the difference between this browser and some of the other browsers is that it will actually assist you in creating the queries very quickly. So if I go in here and just type cache, then you will see it will give me the cache config and the cache information in here. So just double clicking cache and going to queries, it has written the select statement. So this one allows me to quickly go in and see, okay, what information do I have in WVMI? I know there are other WVMI tools, and I'm not saying they're not good. I'm just saying this allows me to do this very quickly. So in here, I learned that cache config is what I'm looking for. That would be the class. And I also see here that the current size is 8 gigabytes. Turning that into a PowerShell. Well, if I go in and get my WVMI object, then you'll see in here that I'm connecting to the CCM client side mode in here. Oops, that was not the one. This one here, the software management agent. And if I just run this one here, notice that I'm changing the cache size. After that, I'm restarting the SMS agent host. We need to do that in order to change it. But this would be how I can change the cache size. So right now, it's just waiting for the service to start. And when I go in here and look, then I know that it will be 10 gigabytes. Having that information, I can take that information and now turn it into a CI. Just notice the class, notice the value, and notice how we actually put it back in here. And let's, by the way, let's just check that it's actually, it is 10 gigabytes. So, let's go back in here. And then let's look at the client cache. The client cache in here is a PowerShell script. I have a discovery script. So this discovery script is exactly what I had in here. So I'm querying the cache config, and then I'm selecting the size in here. Okay, I'm not selecting all of the others. I'm only interested in seeing the size. And when I look at my compliance rule, it has to equal 10 gigabytes. So if it doesn't equal 10 gigabytes, my remediation script looks like the script that I just ran, with one exception. I'm not restarting the agent service in here. So it will put it in, and the second we restart the service, it will actually become 10 gigabytes. Is this useful? For me, it has turned out to be very useful because, as I mentioned, if I go into a university, a public school, or something like that, we do have different machines where we want to control stuff like this. Another example that we also get from WVMI would be this one here, reboot pending. If config manager, if the agent is putting the client into a reboot pending mode, then it will write that information, and I will be able to see that information in the client SDK class. So in here, I can figure out if a reboot pending is true or false, and do we want to have clients in a reboot pending mode? Not really. Do we want to force a reboot? Maybe. We would like to, but management they don't like us to go ahead and reboot the machines here. So I don't have any remediation script for this one. However, when I'm doing my software updates, my manager will come to me and say, Kent, why are you only 65% compliant? And what I can do is, if we take, let's just add that one to my desktop compliance in here. So I'll just go in and add the CI to an existing deployment. My reboot pending. When I have a deployment, I can go in and create a collection. So I could here say, well, I want to create a collection of all the non-compliant machines. I could, of course, also create a report because I can just create a report that will actually look at that. But that's just another example of where you can say, okay, this might not be compliant, it's not a big issue, but I still would like to see how many devices are actually non-compliant, because it can easily be like 20% of all our devices. And then maybe we need to do something about that. Maybe we need to say, well, if you have been in a reboot pending for more than 7 days, then we will send you a warning, and then we will go and reboot your machine. So these are just some of the examples, and as I mentioned, this is more or less just to hopefully open up your eyes to stuff that we can do with Configuration Manager that we might didn't think about. So the client cache, that one is obvious. Restart required, that one is also very neat. Something completely different. Okay, now this one here doesn't work either. I can hardly blame this on Config Manager though. Nope. I have a fix for that. It's called my index finger here. How many of you attended Nico's session on mobile device management? Some of you? Okay. So for those of you who didn't attend the session, we have something in here now called resource access configuration. I'm just going to show you a few slides on this one. So if you have MDM and you want to control your email settings, if you want to control your Wi-Fi profiles, your certificates, VPN profiles, then that's actually also a part of our compliance settings right now. All of these features in here do not apply to all of your normal desktop. So you have to go in and figure out if you can actually deploy a Wi-Fi profile to your Windows 8 machines or your Windows 7 machines, because it's not all supported all the way around. It's meant, in my opinion, it's meant for the BYOD scenario. So when you come in and you plug in your Surface or you plug in your iPad, the intent of this here is that you go to the wireless guest network, you will be enrolled, your device will be enrolled, that will give you the certificate. Once you have the certificate, then you can go into the company wireless. Once you are on the company wireless, then you can get access to your applications and so on. And we can do that with Configuration Manager, where you just need to get you to an open wireless network first. So you have VPN profile management in here, you have your Wi-Fi and certificate profiles. And if you want to hear anything about these settings here, just please stop by when we have the Q&A, and Wally and I will be more than happy to demonstrate. With that was actually my 60 minutes. I can see it's 11:45. So any questions? Nope. Thanks for coming. And enjoy the rest of the day. And for those of you who are attending my next session, I will reboot my environment now, so so I'll make sure my policies work.